100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. Talking life in living color. That's right. We talk about everything from A to Z, and today we're going to talk about hope and holding on to hope. This pandemic is certainly taking a toll on many lives and many families. To those who would say that this is a hoax, I would say, keep your mouth shut. Because real people don't die in a fake hoax. People have died. People dear to me, significant to me, have died for real. So put that hoax talk to the side. Keep it to yourself and remember that families are suffering to this moment. Missing those loved ones that they couldn't even be in the room with when they died. I can't imagine anything more terrifying than dying alone. More terrifying to the family wanting desperately to be at their loved one's side, and when that moment comes, not wanting them to feel that isolation alone. But that's exactly what happened in this pandemic. Family after family, thousands after thousands experiencing that pain, that desperation. So don't insult people. Don't pour salt into the wounds of those who are suffering. Those families who lost fathers, mothers, aunts and uncles. It's very easy in this moment of isolation and not being able to embrace as you normally would. Humans are designed for contact. We are designed for each other. We are designed to communicate, to touch, to hug. Time after time, I've seen messages about people that have not been able to go to church. And then when they get there, even now, they can look at each other through masks, but they can't embrace. Something that we took for granted for so long, something we might think is so simple as an embrace, but there is a benefit that comes from being able to embrace. It releases endorphins in the body that gives us a feeling of ease. It relaxes us. It refreshes us, but we can't do that now. Not as we did. But let me say this, that this too shall pass. I'm going to share something personal with you, not because I seek sympathy or because I think what I have experienced is in any way unique to the human experience. I only share what I'm about to share because I want you to know that there is a way to hold on to your hope. When it seems like everything around you is crumbling, when it seems like no one cares, when it seems like you're isolated and all alone, there's a way, and it's necessary, because if you don't have hope, then you'll sink into the quagmire of life and drift away aimlessly. You begin to feel that there's no point to living because of the pain of loneliness, the pain of loss. People have lost so much. And so I find it imperative, important, necessary to give you some words of encouragement in this time. A friend of mine, businessman, entrepreneur, Ken Brown, who knows his fair share of suffering from when he was a young boy born to teenage parents, and he has become what many would call a success story because of his accomplishments. Well, one thing that Ken says that I remember to this day, he said to me once that hope is being able to see past today. Hope is being able to see past today. And when I first heard it, I didn't really quite understand, but then I found myself in a suffering situation, and I found out what he really meant and what it means. Being able to see past today is being able to have hope for a better future. Now, back many years ago, I'll just say around the year 2000, I spent from year 2000 to 2007, I spent year after year in the hospital, in and out of the hospital, dealing with an illness. And not just any ordinary kind of illness. It's one thing to be ill, but it's something different for your illness to be visible to other people. And even worse, for them to be able to smell your illness. To be sickened by your illness. Yes, even the nurses in the hospital that attended to me, I could see in their faces how they were sickened by my illness. My illness at that time left me unable to feed myself, unable to walk, unable to care for myself. Someone had to do everything for me. There's nothing like feeling helpless and being at the mercy of other people. That's a very terrifying thing. But I'll tell you that as I went through those moments, hours, and days, and weeks, and years of suffering, that particular illness, one thing I said to myself, I said, since I'm not dead, then God must have a purpose for me. And there is even purpose in this suffering. I discovered how important it is to focus on the right things when you're going through a bad situation. And I would meditate on the pleasant things, the things that I enjoyed, the things that I looked forward to doing. Never underestimate the power of belief, the power of faith, the power of positive confession and the power of positive thought. I know from experience that it is far from cliche, that it is reality. Because when you are in pain, it is very difficult to think about anything else but that pain and how you wish to be relieved of it. And I will admit that I had my moments where I simply wanted to die because of the pain. But then I thought about what my death would mean if I simply just gave up or found a way to end it all. The impact on those that care for me and those that were praying for me and those that believed that I would rise above the situation, thinking about the burden that would be left on my wife in my absence. We have to find reasons. We have to know why we want to survive, why we want to live, not just exist, but live. I had to believe that better days were ahead. In the midst of the suffering that everyone could see, and worse, they could smell. What I would focus on? Sometimes I would focus on my favorite restaurant. I just enjoy going to the Olive Garden. Soup is always so fresh. It's always consistent the way it should be. I enjoy the pasta. I enjoy the environment. I just enjoy sitting there eating something that I truly enjoy in an environment that is pleasant. For me, that's what I enjoy. And there was a restaurant that's no longer here in Michigan as far as I can see. But back then, there was a restaurant called Baker's Square. And Baker's Square had this one dessert that was absolutely irresistible. was called French Silk. It was a chocolate mousse kind of pie. I think that's the best way I can describe it, but the flavor of it, the texture of it, the feel of it in your mouth, it would make you close your eyes and savor every single bite of it. And when you can go to places like that in your mind, you can give yourself a reason to rise above your circumstances, rise above the hate, the bitterness of other people, the venom that people spew. You can rise above all of that. You can do that. You can do that if you believe. Scripture teaches that all things are possible to the one that believes. One day, I was in the rehabilitation center, and I decided that enough was enough. Because for a long time, I would just lay there curled up in that bed, not moving, just wanting the pain to stop. And the physical therapist would come in and say, well, it's time for us to do our exercises and go through our therapy to get your legs strong again. But it hurts so bad to stand that sometimes, some days, I would just simply refuse because of the pain. But one day I had enough. I had enough of feeling sorry for myself. I had enough of others feeling sorry for me. I had enough of my wife looking at me, wondering if I was ever going to be the man that I used to be. I was tired of all of that and decided that I was going to move past the pain, that I was going to strive for healing, to be strong again. And I remember that moment when I rolled over on the side of the bed and sat up straight when the therapist came in. And then I stood up, as painful as it was, and they looked at me and they said, "We had no idea you were so tall. No one will know how tall you are as long as you remain seated, as long as you remain in a reclined position. It takes courage to stay alive. Dying is easy. And sometimes, dare I say, dying is selfish. We have work to do. We have people to impact. So as long as there's a chance, as long as there's hope, we need to hang on to that hope. We need to move past the pain, grab a hold of the hope, and rise from the ashes and become more than we were. Because the truth is, you can be more than you are. You can have more than you do. Because if you choose to, you can become much more. Right now, we're going to take a break and hear some important words from our sponsors.
Bethlehem House is a respite for homeless working women. They can stay here for up to a year. When they come, they're kind of disheveled a little bit, but we try and put them back together here. Our goal is for them to save money. It's very important. And clean their credit. Because without good credit, your money is no good. Isn't that amazing? But they stay here for a year, and we kind of get them back together, and they go on.
So, Sam, I heard your grandma say they're donating that car to Charity Motors.
Yeah.
Said they're getting a full fair market tax deduction for it.
I do not know what that means.
It means we get whatever it's worth as a tax deduction right when we donate it.
Nope, not getting it.
It means we get money for it. So does the charity we pick. And the car goes half off to someone who really needs it.
Dollar bills, Sam. Whoop, whoop. Charity Motors.
Yep.
No working woman should be homeless. Find out how you can help at BethlehemHouse.org. That's BethlehemHouse.org. And remember, the year's drawing to a close quickly. Isn't that something? The last few months of the year, and we're already here. Well, I'm sure some of you are glad to see 2020 on its way. But there is a benefit to be had by you by donating your car to Charity Motors. And even if you don't have a car, you can make a donation because guess what? The needs never stop. Find out more about Charity Motors at charitymotors.org. Charitymotors.org. We're talking about hope, how important it is to have hope. I'm reminded of a story of a man that was desperate for a job. It had been months since he had a job, and he was getting desperate. And he was told that he was going to receive a phone call letting him know whether or not he got the job. Paced the room day after day, back and forth, wondering, will this be the day that they call? Am I going to get the job? It was a good paying job. A job paying him more money than he'd ever had in his entire life. But the despair kept creeping up on him. The voice in his head kept telling him, what's the use? They're never going to call. The bill collectors keep calling. The debts keep piling up. And that hopelessness started to well up inside of him. And so he sat down, grabbed a bottle of bourbon, and he drowned himself in it day after day, night after night. And finally, the bourbon got the best of him. The hopelessness, the voices got the best of him. Those voices whispered to him, you might as well end it all. No one's going to call. He lived on the 10th floor of an apartment building where the windows still opened. He walked out, stepped up on that window ledge, and he jumped, and just as he jumped, the phone rang. He would never know what that call was about. But this was the days when people had answering machines. And it was the job that he was seeking, calling to let him know that he'd got the job. But for him, it was too late. He had given up hope. You see, you have nothing to lose by hanging on to hope. You have everything to gain. If you fight to the very end and there's nothing left and you leave it all on the field, then so be it. But whatever you do, don't give up. Don't lose your faith. Believe. Know that you can see past today. Hold in your mind before you the thing that you love dearly, that which you wish to become. You hold on to that, and you don't let go. And one day you'll find that it was worth the wait, worth the struggle. Because I can certainly say for myself that it was certainly worth suffering through? The rehab center, the pain of standing, learning to walk again. Because now, I don't need any assistance walking, and people can't smell my illness. And I'm thankful for that. But I want you to know that you can make it too. I want you to know that you don't have to let the circumstances of this pandemic get the best of you. You don't have to let it swallow you whole, as it already has swallowed some, because they lost hope. Sometimes we have to be hope to someone else. Sometimes we have to call someone and tell them, you're going to be all right. You hold on. You hang in there. You coach them back to life. You do whatever it takes to keep them from giving up. Of course, at the end of the day, what they do is up to them, but we have an obligation at least to try to help those that need encouragement. You'd be surprised what a phone call would do. You'd be surprised how many people have no one calling them at all to check on them, to see how they're doing. Would you do that? I know that it enters your mind, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. Well, go ahead and pick up the phone and find out. Find out how they're doing. Too often people complain. In particular, they complain about social media. They complain about how negative it is. How it destroys families. How it destroys relationships. The fact is that it does not destroy relationships. Social media is merely a tool. What social media really is, it's a mirror. It's a mirror that reflects our thoughts and our attitudes. Social media has revealed that so many of us have holes in us, and we are leaking out life. That's right. The life is leaking out of us, and it leaks on to the timelines of your friends. It leaks out through the bitterness of the words, through the rudeness. Those are all evidences that life is leaking out, because if you're really living, you have good things to say to people. You are not insulted by their political views. You don't have to insist that they think as you do, because you respect the right of people to think as they wish, to do as they wish. They don't have to think like you, and you don't need them to think like you. When you are whole, when you are healed, when you have hope. There's a solution to the ills that seem to plague us. There is. There really is a solution. And it really isn't complicated. It's quite simple, actually. That's not to say that it's necessarily easy, but it is simple. It's called love. No, I'm not talking about the emotion of love. I'm talking about the duty of love. I'm talking about the action of love. I'm talking about doing. Jesus Christ put it simply. He said, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to be religious to do that. In fact, Jesus never asked anyone to be religious. Another fact, many of the teachings of Jesus are very practical. The cross of Christ truly does point up to God, but it also reaches out to humanity. Yes, these are hateful, turbulent times. People spewing venom and doing evil deeds to other people that have done nothing to them. But there is a way to stem the tide of this, and it just takes one person to be kind to another, to show deference to another, to be of strong character that respects the rights of other people to be who they are. Love is about respect, respecting other people's rights. If a man can look into another man's face and see himself and see his love for his family in another man's face and see another man's right to go home and to be embraced by his family, I don't think there would be any violence. I don't think there would be this toiling that goes on, this bitterness, this anger, this violence permeates the land. But we can make a difference, one person to person, one example. In fact, I think there's a lot of that going on that they just don't show us. Because for whatever reason, it seems that the powers that be want to feed us negativity. They want to feed us indifference. They want to show us only the ugly sides of humanity. But I know that there are people out there that do just that, that love their neighbors as they love themselves. What can we do to turn the tide of hate and anger that seems to be ravaging our nation? It's love. Yes, once again, it's love. But I'm not referring to the emotion of love, as I said before, though it has its place. But I'm talking about the kind of love that helps you hold on to your hope and not throw in the towel and just give up and give in. I'm talking about the kind of love that sacrifices and sees other people and their condition as if they were looking into a mirror. When we look in the mirror, we are checking to see if everything is in order or needs adjustment. If we do that, love people as we love ourselves, we will see hope rewarded with people respecting each other because in some way they see a reflection of themselves. No one in their right mind cuts off their nose to spite their face. Don't lose hope. Keep the faith. You've been listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. And I appreciate your attention. Now you go out there and you have a hopeful, fantastic day on purpose. Reach out to me on Instagram at Bobby Ray Ivory Jr., which is my full name. Reach out to me on Instagram. Send me a message. Let me know how this message and how the show is impacting you. I'd like to know. I'd like to hear from you. Or you can contact me on Facebook. Same name, Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. It would be Bob Ivory, but there's other Bob Ivories out there. But there's one Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. So once again, you have a wonderful day. Reach out to me. Let me know what you think. Let me know how you feel. Let me know how you're holding up. Have a great day. You've been listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory.
Owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom! Kaboom.